When it comes to acquiring precious metals, you have options. The question is, who should you trust? At Orion Metal Exchange, our clients get competitive pricing, best-in-class service, and transaction fees that are a fraction of what the other guys charge, helping you maximize gains in the current market. It's simple. Lower fees mean higher returns. With decades of experience, our experts understand market cycles, and our live pricing and cost transparency help you make the right decisions in real time. From retirement accounts to secure storage to insured home delivery, we handle it all. For gold, silver, platinum, or palladium, choose the firm built on value, experience, and trust. Orion Metal Exchange. For our latest precious metals forecast, go to orionreports.com or call 888-343-4738.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. Step up your grilling game with Solaire portable infrared grills, which are perfect for RVers, tailgaters, backyards, and a memorable gift. Solaire infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a Solaire portable alongside your current gas grill as a sear zone for more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com/hot. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
Welcome back, and joining us now is Tony Arterman of Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. And Tony has set up a website, davidknight.gold, and that'll take you directly to Tony and let him know that you're coming through us. Good to have you on, Tony. Things are pretty crazy still, aren't they? But have they leveled out a little bit? Looks like it's not quite as volatile as it's been last couple of weeks.
Well, it's a bit of a blessing where the price doesn't move, you know, $30 and $40 at a time on silver and hundreds of dollars at a time on gold. Yeah, it's been a little bit more stable. But I think the most interesting part being on the ground as a dealer is the disparity between payments anymore. I mean, it really gives me no pleasure to post my buying percentages because people are trying to sell right now. And they're like, well, what's going on? Well, there's just so much bottleneck and the after effects of these prices that move so high and then so low. Mm-hmm. You're talking about weeks to get paid now from wholesalers. I don't think this can last. As a matter of fact, I had a really interesting meeting with one of the executives from Goldback came to see me in Texas. And because mm-hmm. we order so many Goldbacks for Wolfpack, and we talked about, you know, those are those 24 karat notes, and they're just gaining more and more popularity.
Those are really cool. I like them a lot. Yeah,
they're great. And this is they showed me their merchant system that they're setting up, so people can just actively trade Goldbacks business to business, peer to peer. It's really interesting, and we're going to be doing more of that through Wolfpack. But he and I both agreed. Just been in this business a long time, that the larger banks and financial institutions are literally trying to put the smaller operators out of business. This makes no sense right now when you look at articles about Kitco and shortages of supply and things that refiners aren't refining. Mm-hmm. That makes no mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense they have these long drawn out payment timetables that you can't suffer that as an operator. So there's lots of downward pressure across the board on physical operators, and nothing that I can't handle. I mean, we've been preparing for all sorts of contingencies for years, but I think the viewers and people that listen to this show and my show, I just want them to know, like, the realities. It's not even with price stabilization, which is we're very fortunate for, it's still a broken system.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, it's the conspiracies against competitors or something is always there. We've been watching a multi-year series, a little bit at a time with Karen and Lance and I, and they just got to a part. Now, of course, throughout all this, there's been this evil banker who's been conspiring to put his competition and all of his enemies out of business in various ways. They just got into this episode. They had a situation where, because of the war, they had a shortage of being able to get physical gold. So you had a banker that had been a good guy in the story, and he had to call them in and apologize and say, I have to give you a promissory note. I've got to give you paper. And the reaction of everybody, from the business owners down to the people, the employees who are getting paid, nobody wanted that paper money that was there. But yeah, this is something that's been going around for quite some time. The conspiracies to have monopolies, as well as the moving people to something that is a fiat piece of paper and saying, hey, trust me. You know, there'll be gold behind this at some point in time. But, you know, when you're talking about these gold backs, there was an interesting article on Zero Hedge. When cash disappears, so does something else. And his argument wasn't so much about the constant tracking and tracing, which is, he does mention it there, and we talk about that typically. But he's also talking about the cost and the drain on the economy, as each time you have a transaction that happens, the bank gets its cut of that, you know, merchant cut when you have a credit card thing of, you know, 3% or 4% or something like that. And he says, think about that. Every time something changes hands, it's like a value-added tax, but the tax is going to the banks who run the credit cards.
And it's the way they like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had that situation when we were running the video stores, and it got to be so onerous, you know, people coming in and by renting a movie that cost $2 or something, using plastic for it. And this was like 30 years ago. And I said, you know, let's just stop this. I have the ability, because we could track it when people come in. The program I wrote would track the late fees that were there, and we'd come back and tell them about it when they would come back at a later date. So I said, so we'll just tell people for a while, let's get off of the credit card stuff and stop taking it. And we'll just tell them, come in next time and you can pay us in cash or whatever. Well, we quickly learned that people would abuse that system, and they would not pay us the next time or the next time after that. And then after they got to particularly high tab, they just would stop coming in at all. And so we were forced basically to go back and take plastic again. But I saw that fee that was there, and it's pretty significant. And as he's saying, all that money is going out of the economy. If they're passing cash, especially if it's something like a gold back, if they're passing that between customers and businesses, or between business and business, all that money stays there in the economy and the local economy between the people and the small businesses. But when you get the credit card people in, it starts disappearing. It's like a tax.
Well, and I think, and we go back to metals price, who has the capital, who has the credit and the clout to be able to whipsaw prices the way that we saw?
Yeah.
I mean, normal people aren't moving that. This is governments and institutions that are moving these prices. And there's a war on cash. There's been a war on cash for many years. And we saw that during COVID 1984. Remember, the cash was having to be quarantined. It was dirty, you know, and all the repatriated notes that were coming from around the world. So, gotten rid of the penny.
That was Gerald Celente's thing, dirty cash to digital trash.
Digital trash, yeah. They want to turn it into the argument for the central bank digital currency and all. But that is the point, is to make it to where if you're outside of the system, it's harder and harder for you to transact business. They want you to be in the system, because every time that you swipe your credit card, that's currency creation. Mm-hmm. That's the entire system is built off of debt. It's currency creation when you swipe your credit card. And of course, the fees, most people don't know this. I mean, the entities that make the most off of your gasoline are credit card companies that have no infrastructure investment in that gasoline station. So you have to understand, you swipe your card, that's 3%. So if it's $3 a gallon, that's 9 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
It's going to whatever bank, and they have no they make more than the operator. So that's something I saw as my father built convenience stores when I grew up and owned them. And I understand the gasoline business. I've owned them. So that's something I've talked about for years that the average person doesn't understand. So there's all these costs built into everything. And they like the fact that, it's harder to be outside of the system. But there's all sorts of great things still happening. I met with Goldback. They've got some great programs coming out, and more people are using gold and silver products, and recognize gold and silver bullion, which I think is great. More states are adopting gold and silver.
And you've just had Florida just passed a law saying gold is legal tender there now. And so I imagine, when you look at the real issue with that is, how do they determine the genuineness of it? And that's a spot for these goldbacks to come in, I think.
Yeah, gold, and of course, goldbacks, what they do is they're kind of like 90% U.S. silver coinage or constitutional silver coinage. They just break it down into small denominations. I mean, gold at $5,000 an ounce, a 10-ounce piece is, worth more than, at least at spot, is, it's $500. And of course, premiums over that, so 600. So it's a lot, and even gold grams. Going down at, to $170 a piece or something like that. It's just a lot to walk around with. But goldbacks break it down fractionally, which I think help.
That's right.
And there's a
And
they
it
have
gives them
charts that we're
something
going to
that
be
they can
playing.
have some confidence that it's not been counterfeited, right? Because it looks they put a lot into making this thing, makes it
Yes,
harder to counterfeit it.
they were telling me about the design process yesterday, which I didn't know. I mean, it's pretty intricate. The amount of artwork and how they put that together, and and the feel of the notes, there's something about, because it's actual 24 karat gold that's been stretched, and then you can, it's just kind of like we have the feel of our dollar bill, a certain type of paper that it's made of. It's very unique, and so the same thing with gold back.
Yeah, that's interesting. I got a question here for you.
When it comes to acquiring precious metals, you have options. The question is, who should you trust? At Orion Metal Exchange, our clients get competitive pricing, best-in-class service, and transaction fees that are a fraction of what the other guys charge, helping you maximize gains in the current market. It's simple. Lower fees mean higher returns. With decades of experience, our experts understand market cycles, and our live pricing and cost transparency help you make the right decisions in real time. From retirement accounts to secure storage to insured home delivery, we handle it all. For gold, silver, platinum, or palladium, choose the firm built on value, experience, and trust. Orion Metal Exchange. For our latest precious metals forecast, go to orionreports.com or call 888-343-4738.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. Step up your grilling game with Solaire portable infrared grills, which are perfect for RVers, tailgaters, backyards, and a memorable gift. Solaire infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a Solaire portable alongside your current gas grill as a sear zone for more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com/hot. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
Pedal Junkie says, Tony, we all know that SLV ETFs is rigged under allocated. Are they all like that? I have physical silver, but I also have PSLV, which is an ETF on the Toronto Stock Exchange. It's run by Eric Sprott and supposedly fully allocated. It's a trust. I guess that's the yeah, it is a trust.
It's a trust.
You have to trust that it's there. And of course, part of that again is trying to find a way that people can quickly buy and sell fractional ounces of gold and silver like that on a stock exchange. But that's the convenience of it. But that also comes with risk, doesn't it?
It's counterparty risk, and not all of them, I believe, are depleted of their holdings or funds. I think the larger that you go up the channel, and you just have to look at their track record. Just look at JP Morgan Chase's track record with silver price manipulation. I mean, you start getting into a lot of question marks, and I think that that's why I lean towards physical, and I do own some mining stocks and other things. I mean, at a certain level, you have to trust that the investment's going to make a return or something like that. I'm less of an investor. I'm more of somebody trying to protect my wealth, especially with like physical metals, and then I use them for the inventory of my shops, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think not all of them are the same, and they're not all dabbling and papering over holdings that don't exist, but I'm always cautious.
Well, it's kind of like the whole thing, the great taking, that attorney and I think he's attorney and somebody worked in finance. He talked about how they have very subtly changed in the UCC code and state after state. The idea that you just basically have a entitlement to something, but you don't actually own real estate and so many other things like that. Everything just works fine as long as there's not some kind of an unusual economic event. But if things get really sketchy, then what happens is there is a priority of creditors who are going to get paid, and you are way down the list on this new scheme that they have set up under the radar without anybody paying attention for the great taking. And certainly that would be the case with some of these ETFs of gold and silver. You probably don't have any real title, just like you don't with gold and with the original GLD and SLV. You don't have any real title to any gold. What you have is an indirect ownership of it because you have an investment into this trust or whatever it is. And if there is some kind of an unusual crash or something that is very broad through the markets, as we saw in 2008, if something like that happens, you're going to be way down the list of creditors to get paid.
I agree with that. I think one of the best financial products out there right now, and it's not as attractive with gains. Mm-hmm. Although some people that bought from me in 2022, I've just been amazed at some of their returns, some of the larger IRAs. But the gold and silver IRAs, the physical ones, because you're talking about third-party storage that you don't have to worry about. It's not going to get robbed. You know, there's not going to be a heist of it. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's insured, but it's not part of the banking system. And I like that about the gold and silver IRAs. And you can choose what region you want to store those metals in. And of course, you get the tax deduction, you get all that stuff. So there's a reason why they have those rules in place. But so there's a little bit of protection and break between the banking system that you can still operate within the realms of the IRA, but you're outside of the FDIC and other things, which I think are good, and you're outside of the stock market. Mm-hmm. And remember, you know, with all stocks and with any sort of ETFs, they can always just make more paper. And that's stocks can be inflated by the rules of their own system. So you can always create and devalue stock. They do it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any of our current system, I just don't trust. And it comes down to that. At the end of the day, it comes down to trust, and you trust it less and less every day.
That's right. And, you know, when we look at unusual and big events that are going to wreck markets and things like that, I think we should think about what is coming up with Iran, especially because we all remember if you're old enough, you certainly do remember what happened in the late 1970s when we had the crunch of oil with OPEC. And we are not away from that yet at all. That's going to, if we shut down the oil that's coming around the Strait of Hormuz and all these other places like that, and you've got now Russia, China, America, Israel, Iran, everybody is doing military drills there in the Strait of Hormuz. If this thing blows up, and there's a lot of indications that's going to happen, and we know that there's a lot of politicians here in America as well as Israel who want that to happen. If that all blows up, that's going to have massive consequences for the economy. But I got another question here for you, Tony. This is from Ryan for Love of the Road on Substack. He says, please ask Tony what he thinks about HeatBit, heatbit.com. He says it's a home heater that earns Bitcoin anywhere from $450 to $100 a season, he said. And that's dollars, not Bitcoin, of course. Have you heard of anything like that?
Well, you know, I was at the Bitcoin conference a couple of years ago with my son, and I saw they had a water heater that you would install, and your water heater would mine Bitcoin because you need to have a certain amount of electricity and it hooked up to the grid. I think all that kind of stuff is creative. It's good because you're already using the energy anyway. Mm-hmm. Might as well, you know, link up your devices to it it needs to be a secure node that you're mining Bitcoin for. So I think that's always a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know what the payoff is on that. I don't know how much the heater costs, but, yeah, exactly. How many seasons do you have to go through, or does it, how many months do you have?
Yeah, they had a chart that showed like when it would pay for itself, and it wasn't too long. You know, it was a couple, 3 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still ways to mine Bitcoin. A lot of the mining farms are up, and I don't know how they're doing right now. I mean, it's with the price being down off the all-time high the way it is, but you can still mine Bitcoin and mm-hmm. Use those kind of things. So I think that I haven't heard of that website, but it sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's going to be another nightmare scenario as the price is dropping. And then, you know, as Bitcoin goes along and they mine more and more of it, more and more work has to be done in order to get another coin. So more and more work has to be done for less and less of a payoff. It's
right.
A real crunch there. Jason has a question. Jason Barker. Hey, Jason. I was looking at volume levels when gold and silver went crazy and then came back down. It was off the charts. Prices were definitely manipulated for a profit for the bigs, he says. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's a bit of a chaos in the system, too. It's just, you know, that's my feelers and people that I've talked to in the industry. It doesn't make any sense. You know, we have these, you know, real push rise for the prices to go break all these all-time highs. And then the massive pull down. And then it's just been, you know, all over the place. And the volatility, thank goodness, has not been as crazy as the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. It's caused a real breakage in the financial system for gold and silver. Nothing. I don't know that it will go back to the way that it was. A lot of the smaller operators, I think, are really getting pushed out. I mean, the reason I'm still able to survive is because we have Wolfpack.
Yeah.
And Wolfpack keeps us open. As a matter of fact, that's the whole, that'll be the reason we survive this. And it's, you know, we bought a, just to give an example. So one of my crew called me from Branson. We bought a proof set of American Gold Eagles. And I can't sell that really quick to the public. Not a lot of people just want to buy, you know, a whole set of Gold Eagles. So I sold it to the trading floor. And they wanted to remind me it'll be 5 weeks before I get paid.
Wow. Wow.
So you can't sustain that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a sustainable model. So the reason that we'll be doing okay is I continue to buy stuff from the public and other sources, and we put them into Wolfpack. And even, you know, the prices have been causing us to have to dig down deep into our creativity to figure out what we're going to put in the, you know, a $50 package. You know, used to, you could put an ounce of silver in there and a gold back and some fractional stuff, and not anymore, you know, not even close.
Yeah.
So it has to get a lot of different types of products. And I think you'll be seeing a lot more of the gold back stuff because they're really creating an ecosystem too, along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they creating, what are they doing as the price of gold goes up? Are they shrinking the gold backs, or what are they doing to handle that, you know, because
I don't think the gold backs will get smaller. I just think
changing the denomination.
No, they won't change the denomination. What they do is they have a flow chart, and you can download the app. And so, like, if you're going to exchange them in real, it changes in real time. They can have like a ticker, and so, like, whatever the denomination is, that's the amount of gold in there. So that'll never change. So there's basically, you've got the denominations have a certain weight. And that weight is divided by spot. And so it won't be like they start clipping the edges and then you got to fold it over. Here's a piece of a gold, but I don't think.
But they're not designing some smaller ones, are they? Because that's one of the interesting things. When we went to Hong Kong, they had the paper money that was there was issued by private banks, which is the way it used to be done in America. And it was the strangest thing because, you know, they would be different sizes and different colors and stuff like that. And, you know, so I'm looking at two notes that have the same face value in terms of Hong Kong dollars, and they're radically different. And then I see, oh, this is a different bank that's here. And so, you know, it's America has been kind of unusual in the sense that a $1 bill is the same size and color as a $100 bill. You know, most other countries, you know, they'll go from yellow to red to this or that, and you can kind of tell the different denominations more easily. You got to really watch yourself if you're counting cash here in America, you know, looking at those faces that they put on.
We might need to break out I think Cal Coolidge is on the $1,000 bill. We might need to break some of those out here pretty quick to go to the grocery store, David. I have to get the Federal Reserve bills that go, I think they go up to like $1 million.
And probably still the same size and color as the $1 bill.
I think they're the same size and color though. Yeah. I know.
Whose idea was that? Somebody thought they're going to pull my.
Well, you know, the notes used to be bigger. I buy some of the older notes sometimes from people, and the notes used to be bigger. And it's really comical when you actually read the notes from, you know, the early 20th century, late 19th. And most of them will say this note is redeemable for lawful money. So it's saying that it isn't lawful money, but it is redeemable for lawful money, which is always fun. And you're right about the, you know, Andrew Jackson killed the Second Bank of the United States. He's, you know, he called the International Rothschild Banking Cartel, said that you're a den of vipers and thieves. I'm going to rout you out. And he wanted I Killed the Bank on his tombstone, as a matter of fact. He was so adamant about getting rid of the central bank. A lot of people believe that his, you know, the attempted assassination on him was a indirect correlation of that.
Yeah.
But there was no central bank between 1836 and 1913, which was the lifespan of J.P. Morgan, if you believe it. It's really interesting. If you put those two things in place, so the lifespan of J.P. Morgan, there was no central bank in the United States of America. But you had those private banks would issue notes based off of, now that's still fractional reserve banking, mm-hmm. technically, mm-hmm. but it was all redeemable in gold. And, you know, we just forget that. There's no inflation in the 19th century. That wasn't part of our culture or understanding. And now we're in a world where inflation is so rampant, you know, like we just think of, people put up, the charts from the 90s or early 2000s of what things cost, and it blows people's minds that, you know, the rise in prices. So I think that's really just getting started. You know, the yeah. war on cash is part of that, because then you start to remember, you know, like the reason they get rid of the penny, and I think the nickel is next, by the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just reminds you of how little anything, you know, you can buy with a penny. You used to be able to put pennies in vending machines when I was a kid, and you get a little gumball or something, you know.
Yeah,
you don't see that anymore.
That's right. Yeah, and of course, you know, Trump is fine with all that. He wants to move us to the digital currency that is out there. Sheely A has a comment, says, didn't they loosen regulations for pensions and 401ks where they can now buy crypto?
You can get into some of them. I think Vanguard loosened them recently, where you could get into the BlackRock Bitcoin ETF and things like that.
Maybe that's why they
I'm
set
not
up
so the, familiar with.
Maybe that's why they set up the crypto ETF. I mean, we'd look at this and say, what do you need to have an ETF of a cryptocurrency for? Maybe that was why they were doing it. I don't know. She looks at it, and her comment is, it looks like a rug pull. Yeah, and I think that is definitely the case. I think it's a pump and dump to do that type of thing. And of course, Bitcoin was going to be the new gold. They called it gold 2.0, but that really hasn't happened. People are still trusting the thing that they've put, that they've trusted as a store of value for millennia, and that is gold and silver.
That's true, and that will continue to be the case for many, many, many years. I think and I am one of the people that uses Bitcoin and deals in Bitcoin. I think that the calls for demonetizing gold and silver were very premature. That's never going to happen, by the way. Bitcoin's mm-hmm. never going to fully demonetize anything like gold or silver, but it complements them. And I think that, I mean, it's just such an early, it's still way early in the development of Bitcoin. I think a lot of the reasons for the ETFs was to control it. I think that, and also to look at the future, I think they realize that a lot of the stock market, as you know, David, and the markets themselves are not built on anything. These aren't built off profits. These aren't built off of any sort of equity in the real world. Mm-hmm. A lot of them is mm-hmm. built off of proximity to the relationships they have with the central bank, not actual earnings. And that's something that's new. And somebody has to, you know, somebody running this.
When it comes to acquiring precious metals, you have options. The question is, who should you trust? At Orion Metal Exchange, our clients get competitive pricing, best-in-class service, and transaction fees that are a fraction of what the other guys charge, helping you maximize gains in the current market. It's simple. Lower fees mean higher returns. With decades of experience, our experts understand market cycles, and our live pricing and cost transparency help you make the right decisions in real time. From retirement accounts to secure storage to insured home delivery, we handle it all. For gold, silver, platinum, or palladium, choose the firm built on value, experience, and trust. Orion Metal Exchange. For our latest precious metals forecast, go to orionreports.com or call 888-343-4738.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will give you better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. Solaire hot fast grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
You know, the financial simulations and projections has to understand that, and Bitcoin would be a way to hedge that, but that's probably a whole other conversation, because I don't know what's going on at this point. I think there's a lot of psyops around money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of always, in price always, always. And we don't actually, you know, I don't have the full picture of what is actually going on. I can only guess, and then I use my instinct, or you know, my gut level analysis of what's going on. I just think there's a serious amount of manipulation in all these markets.
There's a comment here from Jason Barker, and he says, FYI, if you roll over your 401 with Tony, you don't have to go strictly metal. You can also diversify with other things. It's pretty much self-managed how you do it. That's a good point.
Yeah, so you go through New Direction Trust, and they have other options in there too. The metals part, whether it's gold, silver, or platinum, and like I said, we've had some people in the, you know, 2 or 3 years ago that rolled over some pretty large amounts that were listeners of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about some of those deals sometimes when I see the price of gold or the price of silver, and I think, wow, that was a very smart move. and the fact that you've got no counterparty risk other than the storage facility that's not part of the financial system. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's a lessening of risk.
Yeah.
Which I think is, that's why the central banks are moving the price of gold right now. I think that's the quiet part out loud that mm-hmm. the financial mm-hmm. networks don't really push and they don't say, but that's, it's not necessarily the people that are full of fear. It's governments.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and the people are have right. fearful, but there's nothing that doesn't compare to the fear of governments and what they have of other, you know, of financial institutions like the United States, you know.
That's right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, when you look at geopolitical and economic uncertainties, it's the governments that are the most afraid of those things, which is, we live in interesting times and there's a lot of stuff that's on the horizon. What do you think is going to happen if we have a large war that shuts down the supply of oil from the Middle East? How is that going to affect things like the price of gold? Big question.
Well, I think ultimately, if we do have a full-on war with, if we go in this, I'm looking at the headlines right now of antiwar.com, and it says White House claims there are, quote, many reasons to strike Iran. many reasons, David. You know, we've talked about this for years. This has always been on my, you know, the horizon of the dread that I would look at, worst case scenarios, being an Iraq war veteran and knowing that they had this in mind all along.
Oh yeah.
This right. has always been the play. If you looked at the movie W that's done by Oliver Stone and the character, you know, of Dick Cheney, they put it all up on the map, you know, and then it was the centerpiece. It was the raison d'etre was Iran,
mm-hmm.
was to hit
mm-hmm.
Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we never leave, you know, so this is about energy. It's about empire. It's about who controls the flow of things. It's one of the reasons why we went in into Venezuela to, you know, just did that reverse icing of Maduro, you know, brought him to the United States. So that was about energy. Whereas if you look at the Wolfowitz Memorandum of 1992 about not allowing any sort of rival power and using every means necessary, even striking Russia, other things, just crazy stuff from these psychotic neocon people. And of course you got the rampant Zionist, and it converges there in Washington, D.C., where both mm-hmm. parties agree mm-hmm. that we should sacrifice our sons and daughters and blood and treasure and everything else to promote chaos in the Middle East. And it is really sad. I don't know that there's any stopping this train. It seems like we just never really get away from the consequences of going into an unconstitutional, unnecessary, which I believe satanic war in the Middle East would for no reason, because, you know, Iran cannot threaten or destroy the United States of America. They're not a clear and present danger. Our rulers are.
Yeah. We're the ones who are initiating.
Inside the walls are.
Yeah, we're the ones who are invading countries, and we're killing people on the high seas. So we don't know what they're doing even. As I've said before, you know, how can you support blowing these ships up because you think they've got drugs on it? I mean, if you stop them and validate the fact that they've got drugs, what do people think then if you lined them up on the side of the boat and shot them into the water like a Nazis rounding up escaped prisoners in The Great Escape or something? I mean,
yeah, what's the difference?
It's even worse than that, because they haven't even verified that they've got the contraband that they're so upset about. And if you catch somebody shipping some of that stuff, it's not a death penalty, not in our system of law. How do you justify any of this stuff that's happening? And as you point out, many, many reasons, and I can name those reasons. We got Lindsey Graham, we got Netanyahu, who's been pushing war with Iran for decades, talking about nuclear stuff. And of course, you got the Zionists like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro pushing this as well. And Trump, their puppet, who will do whatever they wish. So yeah, it looks like that's definitely in the cards, and the disruption that's going to happen. We go back and look at the different wars, Tony, as you were pointing out, always the calculations about oil. Look at Syria, for example. A big part of the Syrian war, we've talked about many times, I've talked about it with Cheryl Salenti, are the pipelines. Who's going to run the pipeline across Syria? Is it going to be something that benefits America and its friends, or is it going to be something that's going to benefit Russia? And when you look at the pipelines going into Germany, you know, the ones that they blew up, that was also about making, the Nord Stream stuff was about making sure that they weren't going to get Russia's gas, that they were going to buy liquid natural gas from us at a higher price. It's always that kind of a calculation that's there. And we don't really care who
gets
killed. Under
the levels of lies and propaganda to force feed people who clearly don't have the ability to discern truth from lies. And I think they get really good at it. And, you know, you mentioned Syria, which is I was friends with a real like wildcatter who went all over the world and, you know, put oil wells together on behalf of companies and investors, and had done that his whole life. And we were talking about Syria in 2012, right before I did my first radio show. And he said, well, you know who owns those pipelines, all the pipelines running through Syria and all the contracts? He goes, if you dig down and you go through the holding companies, the subsidiaries, it's the CIA. You know, and that, and they always have, you know, that's going back to.
And we've seen people that leave the CIA that get set up in the oil business. George H.W. Bush.
Arbusto.
That's right. But we also had the guy that he was the lieutenant governor. He was the one in 2011 shut down the move to stop these naked body scanners and the pat downs of kids and stuff like that. I can't remember the guy's name. He spent
Was it Dewhurst? What was his
name? I think that was it. I think it was Dewhurst.
I think it was. He was the a one CIA that he guy. Lost running to Ted Cruz, which, you know.
Yeah, distinction without a difference, right?
He lost to Ted Cruz. Yeah, but he spent a ton of money. I met him when I was running for Congress in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so another guy that leaves the CIA and all of a sudden now is an expert in the oil business.
Another expert.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. It does all. As a matter of fact, when we peel back all the layers of evil like an onion, we always find the CIA down at the center of it, don't we?
Somewhere
whatever
down
you're
at
talking
the bottom.
About. Whether you're talking about the Epstein stuff or whether you're talking about oil and wars and all, it's always the CIA down there center of it.
Our policy in the Middle East, you know, post Franklin Roosevelt, you know, end World War II. It really is fruit of a poisonous tree. You know, when you understand what the House of Saud was all about and, you know, the way that they governed and ruled and everything, you know, the Iraq and how it was built and our involvement there. And the Operation Ajax in the early 50s, all of that. We've just created this monster over there. And it's really sad that, we're going to be pushed into something. I hope it isn't as big as I think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But to get to the consequences of it, David, you're talking about oil prices, which will cascade into more inflation, harder economic times for the American people and the world in general.
Well, I think it'll be a kind of a stagflation on steroids, like we saw with OPEC initially, right? So we have a recession at the same time we got inflation. And of course, we know what happened in the 70s under those types of situations. Because of inflation, gold really was squeezed like, you know, fire hose or something. So,
yeah, that was when gold was, you got to think about that too, gold at $800 an ounce and in the end of 79 going into 80 along with silver at $52. I mean, just in those dollars denominated in 1980 dollars, that's just insane to think about today. Silver's never, you know, ever matched that $52 in 1980 metric when it comes.
Yeah, absolutely right. We got another comment here from Hatchcar 61. Question for you, Tony. Are there silverbacks? You talked about the goldbacks. Are there silver? They do have silver in them.
They do, and they're like collectible novelties at this point. I haven't found anyone yet that that just truly carries the silverback for the silver. It's I don't know if it's harder to make or they just don't. It's not as profitable or something like that. But you will see them in the future. They're just not as they're from what I understood talking to goldback. They're more like collectibles than they are something that's tradable.
Yeah.
The goldbacks allow you to you know, have, you know, $5 to $10 to $15 worth of purchasing power on the smaller notes. And that seems to be the most economical to make and to use.
In terms of where things are going, of course, you know, when I talked to Gerald Sente, he says, I don't make predictions. I look at trends. He does occasionally talk about where he expects to see prices go. And he pretty much nailed it on the 5,000 by the end of the year. He said he's only off by a couple of weeks. But you got some predictions, and of course, they're all over the place. UBS is just up their prediction to $6,200. But it doesn't look like when they're talking, when the analyst is looking at it, doesn't look like they're pricing in anything like an Iran war or anything like that. You know, what do you see out there? I know you don't do predictions either. But that's the bottom line is when we look at the trends and we look at the underlying things, the weaponization of the financial system that began in 2022, that's what kicked all this stuff off. None of that is changing. As a matter of fact, all the things that started this trend are actually getting worse or more intense, right?
When it comes to acquiring precious metals, you have options. The question is, who should you trust? At Orion Metal Exchange, our clients get competitive pricing, best-in-class service, and transaction fees that are a fraction of what the other guys charge, helping you maximize gains in the current market. It's simple. Lower fees mean higher returns. With decades of experience, our experts understand market cycles, and our live pricing and cost transparency help you make the right decisions in real time. From retirement accounts to secure storage to insured home delivery, we handle it all. For gold, silver, platinum, or palladium, choose the firm built on value, experience, and trust. Orion Metal Exchange. For our latest precious metals forecast, go to orionreports.com or call 888-343-4738.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the incredible Solaire infrared grills that heat up in just 3 minutes to searing heat and make the juiciest grilled food you've ever had. But don't take my word for it. Try before you buy with the Solaire Demo Rental Program. For only $47, you can use our infrared demo grill for 2 weekends and the week in between in the comfort of your backyard. Test its hot, fast performance and versatility with steak, chicken, fish, pork, veggies, and all the foods your family enjoys. At the end of the demo, just wipe it off and put it in the box for a UPS pickup. Solaire makes it easy. Then you'll receive a coupon for $47 off any new Solaire infrared grill. The Solaire demo rental program will convince you why Solaire is truly the last grill you'll ever buy. Learn more about the amazing USA-made Solaire infrared grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. Solaire demo rental program at besthotgrill.com/hot.
Well, that's right. And I don't make predictions mainly because I find some of the financial people that are in gold and silver can be a bit irresponsible because it looks like you're pushing people to buy it because they're going to get a return.
Yeah.
But I usually just will preface it by saying, would it surprise me? Would it surprise me if gold was at, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 an ounce in 2 years? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's right.
Would it, not at all. I mean, I'm not really ever that surprised. I think that the metrics and all the fundamentals are there that are driving that. I'm, you know, at this point, knowing what we know, you know, the market is a house of cards. The entire thing, you know, whether it's AI or tech, mm-hmm. any of those, they're just built on so much leverage that it's inflated. And at some point, there's going to be more of a, at least for many years, I think there will be this period where a lot of the older values in the older economies will come back, like gold and silver. That'll mm-hmm, be a thing. Mm-hmm. Oil will be another thing, you know, just, and I've been buying a little bit of just a tiny bit of oil stocks. I have a friend that is an executive with a oil drilling company, and I've known him for my whole life. And so I buy a little bit of his company. I'm talking about a tiny amount, just because I realize that it's going to be more profitable for these companies to pull oil out of the ground. And despite mm-hmm. what the environmentalists and quote unquote think about, we're not going to stop using petroleum. It makes everything.
That's,
you know,
right.
We have to. It keeps the lights on. I know they'd like to stop that, but you know, if there's civilization, there's oil at this point.
And so. You got to have it for plastic. You know, you go back to the movie, yes. The Graduate, right? Got one word for you, plastic. You know, that plastic, in and of itself, yeah. Right there, that would keep us going on the oil thing. So, again, everything is lining up for the war in Iran. And the only question for most people is exactly when is the trigger going to be pulled? Because they have stockpiled all the assets there and they're sending more all the time. And, you know, just waiting for the right moment, I guess, when somebody comes up with the most incriminating document about Trump and Epstein, I guess that's the trigger pull right there.
Well, I think that it's you always see this, whatever happens with Epstein, mm-hmm. you know, this happened in 2019. He doesn't kill himself. Right. And then there's this dead mm-hmm. man switch. It's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
I mean, then you have COVID-1984. There's just something about it, like the data coming out from that. And then we do it again.
Yeah.
So it's like this guy proceeds from beyond Tel Aviv or wherever he is now.
The harbinger.
He's a harbinger. I don't know what it is. You see his face, you start seeing more, you know, associations and evidence of whatever. So it is very concerning. And I hope that I'm wrong on a lot of my predictions for war, but it is absolutely disgusting that we seem to be on this. sleepwalking into it, you know, as American people, and our politics are just. I mean, I don't recognize this country or its political system anymore. I don't take part in it. I don't know what it means.
Well, it's bad enough when you're looking at these discussions about the the pretend rescue mission of these guys. You blow up their boats in 9-foot seas and gale winds and all this other stuff, and you leave them there for 2 days and you send some rescue mission down there. And they said, oh, this is just going through the motions and virtue signaling about it. You got somebody that's in the water, you know they're dying right then. You got an obligation to get them out. And yet we had Kristi Noem, who didn't have that obligation, about a Coast Guard personnel who had gone overboard and pulled the plane off of that search thing. So the level of just disengagement from any morality, any legality, you know, they like to talk all the time about lethality, but they never care to talk about legality. You talk about that, they come after you. Truly is amazing. And so these people are about to drag us into a world war, which we've seen coming for quite some time, haven't we? You know, it's going to be a global economic issues that are there. Going to be global wars, going to be revolutions, going to be civil wars. All these things will be happening all at once with this fourth turning right here at the end. So again,
it's the fourth turning.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a little bit of things
that old institutions are coming apart.
That's right. That's right. And gold does not require an institution. So, you know, it's a little bit of a lifeline that you can hang on to in these high seas that we're coming to, isn't it? So.
I think the part of the leading up to this timeline that we're on, I think we're very fortunate, is because there's been a lot of infrastructure built into being outside of the system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
great programs and things that you can get into and own physical gold, silver, or you can, I mean, again, you can be in Bitcoin, you can be in other things that are outside of the banking system, gold backs.
That's right. And we're not the only ones who see this. We're not the only ones who see this coming. Like you're talking about the people doing gold backs. So you've got some state representatives that have been making moves, trying to get some things done. And so there is an awareness that is there. It's not very large. You're not going to see it in the mainstream media, but there's an awareness there. And there's going to be a parallel economy that's going to be there as well, I think. So let us know, you know, what's going on with Wise Wolf. Other than
keeping the doors open. we're alive, we're kicking, and we're getting creative. And I'm working on ways for us to be here in 2 and 5 years. So
that's great.
Wolfpack's strong. We've got more members than ever. We could use some more. That's one of the reasons we're open. Mm-hmm. Is the Wolfpack, and you know, we spend a lot of man hours every week building those invoices, and we really appreciate anybody who's a part of it. And you can do one time deals; you don't have to do a membership, but that does help us, and we are able to take the products that we're buying and still offer the public a place to sell their gold or silver. Really proud that we still have that.
It really is a win-win situation. It's a win for you because of this crazy liquidity issue that has happened with the entire system that's there. But it's a win-win for the win for the consumer is that they do dollar cost averaging and that they can set up a savings program to start putting some money into something that retains its value. That's a big issue there, I think. And that has always been great from the consumer side. And now we see that it's something that is keeping the cash flow going as these manipulations of the gold and silver market causing this kind of volatility has made it difficult cash flow for a lot of gold and silver dealers. That's a great thing. The Wolfpack, great idea that you had. So thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. Thank you for what you do. And it's great to have somebody that we can trust that is involved in the gold and silver that we can trust as well. So a couple of layers of trust that are there that I really do trust. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, go to davidknight.gold and I'll take you to Tony and let him know that you came through us. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
When it comes to acquiring precious metals, you have options. The question is, who should you trust? At Orion Metal Exchange, our clients get competitive pricing, best-in-class service, and transaction fees that are a fraction of what the other guys charge, helping you maximize gains in the current market. It's simple. Lower fees mean higher returns. With decades of experience, our experts understand market cycles, and our live pricing and cost transparency help you make the right decisions in real time. From retirement accounts to secure storage to insured home delivery, we handle it all. For gold, silver, platinum, or palladium, choose the firm built on value, experience, and trust. Orion Metal Exchange. For our latest precious metals forecast, Go to OrionReports.com or call 888-343-4738.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com/hot. Step up your grilling game with Solaire portable infrared grills, which are perfect for RVers, tailgaters, backyards, and a memorable gift. Solaire infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a Solaire portable alongside your current gas grill as a sear zone for more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at BestHotGrill.com/hot. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com/hot.